I sat there at the house. I told Debbie, I said, well, we could have gone to church, I believe. But you have to make those calls unknowing. And maybe the Lord had us do that for a specific reason. But here we are tonight in the house of God. What a blessing, what an honor to be here tonight with all of you. Luke chapter number 1, we're going to begin in verse number 26 of our text, Luke chapter 1. And y'all pray for me, I'm going to do my best tonight, still fighting this old croup, but we'll do our best for our Savior. Luke chapter number 1, verse number 26, and the Word of God says it like this. It says, in the sixth month, that'll be the sixth month of Elizabeth, John Baptist's mother, pregnancy. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And notice every one of those letters are in capital letters, because there's no other name any greater than the name of Jesus. Then it goes on to say in verse number 32, He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the high shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. It's reading out of Luke chapter 1, Luke's gospel account of the birth or the announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ. I want to take these verses tonight and bring a thought that God gave me beginning at 4:45 this morning on Mary's Christmas message. Mary's Christmas message. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Father, tonight as we gather, Lord, in this place, what an honor and a privilege it is to be able to call you Lord. And Father, as we gather, Lord, around this blessed book, God, that you've preserved for us down through the years, I want to thank you and praise you for saving me and, Lord, giving me this opportunity to stand in this place one more time and preach the Word of God about Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that in a special way that you would anoint me tonight, Lord, for without you, I can do nothing. Lord, enable me tonight, God, please, by the power of God. But Lord, I pray not for myself alone. I pray for every person that's in this room. I pray, Father, that when we leave here tonight, that we will have a better grasp of what Mary heard that special night. We love you and we thank you and praise you for loving us and caring for us through all of this snow. Thank you for everything, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated tonight. There's many people, no doubt, when I do get to heaven, and by the way, I am going to heaven. There's many people that I want to meet when I get there. Now, at the top of my list is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. just to be able to see his face and to look into his eyes and to see that one that died on Calvary for me, that's going to be heaven to me, just to be able to see Jesus Christ. But there's some others that I want to meet when I get there. And Mary is one of those people that I want to meet. We read about her, and I know that the Catholic Church, I know that they make too much of Mary and make her into a goddess. They overextend who she really is, and I understand all of that. But I believe that us as Baptists, I believe that we diminish the favor that Mary had with God. And I want to meet Mary. I want to be able to sit down with her and talk to her. I know one of the gospel writers wrote a song years ago, and it's a very popular Christmas song about Mary, Did You Know? And it amazes us, I believe, when we do get to heaven to fully understand all that Mary really did know whenever she found out that she was going to bear Jesus Christ. She had a special place. She held a special place in history. You've got to admit that. No other person has ever done or been used by God in the manner that Mary was used by God. She was the one chosen and handpicked by God the Father to bring the Savior. And by the way, there's only one Savior. Amen. And she was handpicked by God to bring Jesus Christ, the Savior, into the world. And now I want to preach for just a little while with this thought in our minds on Mary's Christmas message. I want us to first consider the mention of her name. As I began studying this morning and looking through the Word of God, I began searching using my computer program to study a little bit with. And I began searching that name, Mary. I found out that the very first time that Mary's name is mentioned is in the book of Matthew, chapter number 1, in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she's mentioned there in that name, and that's the first time that it's ever found, is in Matthew chapter 1 in verse number 16. It says, "And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ." Then I found out that the very last time that her name is ever mentioned in the Word of God is found in Acts chapter 1 in verse number 14. She's found alone in the upper room with all of the apostles. And it says about Mary, it says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." As a matter of fact, the only mentioning of her name, Mary, the mother of Jesus, she's only found mentioned 19 times in the Scriptures. She's found 5 times in the book of Matthew. She's found 1 time in the book of Mark, and 12 times in the book of Luke, and only 1 time in the book of Acts. You would think, I would have thought by just searching the Scriptures, I would have thought that Mary's name would have been found from the very beginning to the very end, at least of the New Testament. But her name is only found 19 times in the Word of God. But all the place that she held in the Word of God and what God used her to do by bringing the Savior into the world. I want to mention not just the first mention of her name, but the facts of her name. Mary, the name Mary is a very common Bible name. Matter of fact, if I've read it right and studied it right, there's 6 women in the Word of God all bearing the name Mary. I began looking at that name and I said, "Well, Lord, what does the name Mary mean?" And to be honest with you, I was a bit shocked when I found out what the meaning of the name Mary meant. You know, all names have some kind of meaning or definition, some implication behind them. Just like my name John, it means beloved. Amen. I like that name. But the name Mary, that name is defined as meaning rebellious. And I thought that kind of odd because of who Mary was. I thought that that would be a bit odd for her name to actually mean rebellious. But I got to thinking about that, and I got to thinking about maybe she did have a rebellious streak in her. I believe that she was rebellious because of rebellious toward the flesh. I know that she was a virgin. She was not a maiden. She was not just a young lady. She was a virgin. Amen. And that was one of the signs that God was going to use to signify that His Son had come into this world by the use of a virgin girl. Amen. She rebelled against the flesh. She did not give in to the flesh. I don't care what all the commentaries say about it. I don't care what all the Bible scholars want to think about it. Mary was a virgin, and that was a miracle in itself that Jesus came into this world through a virgin. Can I get a witness right there? I mean a virgin. Think about it. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it said, "And therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23, that scripture is interpreted for us. And it says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." Now listen to it, which being interpreted is God with us. That little child that Mary held that day, that was none other than God Himself. That little child had spoken all the worlds into existence. I believe what I'm preaching tonight with all of my heart. That little child is God manifest in the flesh. Amen. You think about that tonight. She rebelled against the flesh. Jesus could have come into this world any other way that he wanted to. But He chose to come into this world just like you and I do. You think about this. Every one of us sitting here tonight, we're here because a man and a woman got together. We're here by supernatural design of God. It's not man's doing, it was God's doing. Whenever He created Adam in that garden and then took that rib out of his side and created a woman, He put in the two of them to be able to conceive and produce each other. And here we are tonight, and every one of us has come into this world through the conception between a man and a woman, but not Jesus. Not Jesus. Oh, He used a woman, but it was not another man that went into her. It was none other than the Holy Ghost. Can I get a big witness right there? He was God manifest in the flesh. It was a miracle that brought Him into this world. Amen. She rebelled against the flesh. And then I got to thinking about this. Well, maybe she rebelled against fears. Can you imagine being however old Mary was, say 17, 18, 19, 20 at maybe the most, and going home and telling your dad and your mother that you were pregnant? Can you imagine that and then saying, "Oh yeah, and by the way, the one that's inside of me, I've never known a man, and the one that's on the inside of me is none other than God." I mean, you got to admit, that would be impossible for us just to believe. Can you imagine the things that was said about Mary? Can you imagine the slander that was said about her? Oh, yes, she says it was God. But we all know how that happened. You know how people talk. And she rebelled against the fears. She said, "Be it unto your handmaid. God, I'm yours. Use me any way that you want to." Do you know sometimes having the favor of God in your life will bring misunderstanding from others? Amen. To have God's hand on you, for God to use you the way that God wants to use you. Sometimes people are not going to understand it. And Mary said, "I'm just ready for God to use my life." Oh, would we have a heart like Mary's God and say, "God, use me any way you want to." Mary, the first, the mention of her name, Mary. He said they're highly favored. Notice what it says, thou highly favored and blessed art thou among women. I looked up those words, favored and blessed. You know what it means? It means to speak well of. And up in heaven, Gabriel was dispatched all the way from heaven. He left heaven and his mark was the planet Earth. But God narrowed it down for Gabriel. He said, don't just go to Earth, go to a place in Galilee. And he kept narrowing it down. He said, not just Galilee, find this little city by the name of Nazareth. And when you get to Nazareth, I want you to find a little virgin girl by the name of Mary. And I want you to go to Mary. And I want you to tell Mary that I'm going to overshadow. And she is going to bear my son into this world. Can you imagine whenever they got there and Gabriel looked at Mary and said, Mary, you're highly favored and blessed of the Lord. That means before she ever heard what that angel had to say to her, up in heaven there was already a conversation going on about Mary. I just got to thinking as I was sitting there this morning and meditating upon that. I got to thinking, I thought, Lord, I wonder what things are being said in heaven about me tonight. I wonder what things are being said in heaven about my life. And up in heaven, there was nothing but favor. There was nothing but blessings being talked about when they talked about Mary. Oh, give us a heart tonight to please heaven with our lives. Amen. Too many times we worry about what people are going to say about us. We worry about what people are going to think of us. Oh, give us a heart like Mary and say, I don't care what man thinks about me. I don't care what man says about me. I just want God to use my life. I want God's hand upon me. Can I say tonight that the greatest thing that we've ever experienced is God using your life? Amen. The mention of her name. But then I want us to think, secondly, not only just the mention of her name, I want us to consider the motherhood of her nature. I want you to look with me in verse number 31 and what the scripture says. It says in verse 31, it says, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. She was told by this angel Gabriel what to call the child whenever she conceived and brought into this world. You know, we know that conception takes 9 months. And I personally don't believe that Jesus was born in December. I believe it was more maybe around September or so. But if you count it back, the conception could have been around December. If you count the time of gestation and all that. But what I was thinking about, whenever she heard that name, she was the first one on planet Earth to hear the name Jesus mentioned. And she said, and this angel said, I want you to know something. I want you to understand something, Mary. You're going to conceive. And that child on the inside of you is going to be the Son of God. I can't understand all of that kind of stuff. I'm like old Billy Sunday said. Billy Sunday said, I don't understand electricity, but I ain't going to sit around in the dark till I do. I don't understand a combustion engine. I don't understand a car motor and how it works. But I'm not going to walk till I do understand it. And I tell you something else. There's some spiritual things that I don't understand. Can I tell you one thing about eternal spiritual things that I don't understand? I don't understand God. I can't, in the beginning, God, I mean, never had a beginning, never going to have an end. If my mind could conceive it, I'd be God. Amen. I cannot conceive God. You cannot conceive God. I don't understand God, but I believe that there's a God up in heaven tonight, and he's big enough to handle anything. Amen. The motherhood of her nature. There's a lot of things I don't understand. I don't understand God. I don't understand the Trinity. I don't understand God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. But I know these three are one and these one are three. And I believe in the Trinity. Amen. I believe that God is God and He is who He says He is. I'm not going to argue theology with anybody about it. But I believe what this Bible says about it. And I believe that God the Father has an eternal Son. Whenever Mary had Jesus, that was not the beginning of Jesus. He's always been around. He's always been God. It was just a manifestation of God manifest in the flesh. That's who Jesus is. He's God. I believe that. I believe that. I fall out with you about that. Amen. If we don't confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, we are the spirit of the Antichrist. And I'm here to tell you tonight that Jesus Christ is God Almighty. And when He came into this world, that was God manifest in the flesh. The motherhood of her nature said that she's going to conceive Jesus. Excuse me, and he had a more excellent nature than anybody that had ever been born before. A more excellent nature. I want you to listen to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4 and 5. It said, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he says, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me." I don't understand how God did all of that. I don't understand the biology of all of that stuff that went on inside of Mary's womb. But I know that Jesus Christ, in a seed fashion, was planted into the womb of Mary. And there was a little body that God had prepared for him. It was like it was made in the likeness of sinful flesh, but he was sinless. Can I get a witness right there? And I want to say this tonight. His mother was Mary, but his father was not Joseph. His father was a father in heaven. And he came into this world as a sinless son of God. He did no sin. He thought no sin. He desired no sin. There was not one sinful thing that came out of his life. Yet he became sin for you and I. You see, it was a big swap job in our lives. Jesus Christ never sinned, knew no sin, yet he was made sin for you and I. You know, one of the curses of the fall in the garden was that man is going to sweat. And I believe this about Jesus. I believe that through all of his toiling, I believe that through all of his, what he did through his 33 years on planet Earth, I don't believe he ever sweat one drop of sweat because of the curse until he went into the garden. And when he went into that garden, there was a cup. And in that cup was the sins of you and I. And it was poured out without mixture upon the Son of God. And he became sin for you and I. And it said that he agonized so much in that garden because of what he was becoming for you and I. Said that his sweat became as blood. The blood started pouring out. The blood was covering the curse. Aren't you thankful tonight for the blood of Jesus Christ? If it weren't for the blood, none of us would be saved tonight. The blood, it was the blood of God that was being shed beginning in that garden. I remember Buster Seaton preaching in our church down at Waycross years ago. And he preached on the shedding of blood, and he began in the life of Jesus and showed all the different times that he shed his blood. And you know why he was shedding that blood? So that you and I could be sitting here tonight with our sins forgiven. Oh, I'm glad that Jesus forgave me of all of my sins. My sins are under the blood. I've been washed and made clean. I'm the Son of God. I stand in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's not what you do or don't do. It's what Jesus did. He shed his blood. Amen. Amen. I got to thinking about this today while I was just meditating and studying. I'm glad all my sins in the past are gone. But I want to tell you something tonight. I got sins of the present. And that same blood is purging my sins as I stand here flat-footed and looking at every one of you eyeball to eyeball. Oh, that blood, it didn't lose its power. It was not applied just one time. That blood is still working in all of our lives tonight. Had it not been for the purging power of the blood, we would not be here tonight. You think about it, if it had not been for that purging power of the blood of Jesus Christ, you would still be living in sin and enjoying it. But that purging power of the blood can purge our conscience from dead works to serve the ever-living God. Oh, I'm glad I came to church tonight. I'm glad that God gave us liberty to be in this place tonight. Aren't you thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ? He took it into heaven and it's on the mercy seat of God tonight. And that's why we have eternal life. Eternal life is in the blood. Not in your works, not in your baptism, not in you being good, not in you doing right. It's all in the blood of Jesus Christ. And God help any preacher that'll preach anything different than that. Amen and amen. It's in the blood. The motherhood of her nature. She begat Jesus Christ in her womb. And he came into this world, the sinless Son of God. His nature was more excellent, but his name was more excellent than any other name that's ever been named and laid on a human being. His name is Jesus. His name will dispel fears. His name will give you boldness when you're standing in fear. His name will make you rise up and shout one more time. His name will give you one more message. His name will give you another song. His name will give you another lesson. His name, it'll keep your marriage together. His name is the wonderful name of God. His name shall be called Jesus. I dare you to try this. You ever have them mully grub days? Oh, Lord, have mercy. I hate them when they come on me. Oh, that them days when you just get the mully grubs and you got the case of I can't help it. You want to have a pity party and the only one you're going to find to come to your pity party is the devil and you. Amen. And he'll sure join you. Amen. He'll tell you every reason that you need to have the mully grubs. But just get to saying the name of Jesus. Just get to whispering the name of Jesus. Get to singing the name of Jesus. It'll bring something to your heart that you'll need at that moment of time. It'll put a spring in your step, a shout in your soul. That name of Jesus is the greatest name that's ever been put on anybody. That name of Jesus, that's the name of my Savior. That's the name of my Lord. That's the name of my King. That's the name of my Counselor. That's the name of my coming God. Jesus is His name. Jesus is His name. The book of Philippians tells it like this. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He said, but made of himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and every tongue should confess that Jesus is Christ, to the glory of God the Father. Think about it. He was up in heaven, seated on the throne of the universe. All the riches of all of the glories of heaven at his disposal. Angels were bowing before him. They were crying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty." Can you imagine sitting on the throne of eternity and all the angels just giving you glory 24/7? I mean, all the angels just crying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And he left all of that, came down to this sin-cursed world where men mocked him and cursed him. And they're still doing it today. Can I get a witness right there? They mocked him and spit upon his face, slapped his face, pulled his beard out by chunks, and crucified him on an old rugged cross. But it was the only way that you and I could sit here tonight redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. We ought to be tearing this place up tonight just thinking about what a wonderful Savior we have. The motherhood of her nature. Mary was the first one to ever hear that name, Jesus. And that name Jesus, I love what that name means. It means Savior. Savior. It means not only Savior, but it means Deliverer. He's still delivering me. He's still delivering you. He's still delivering all of us that are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Delivering. Delivering. I often use this illustration about when I was lost. I didn't get saved till I was 29 years old. And I lived a very wicked life. And I'm glad that he can save old sinners. He can save good people. He can save bad people. Can I get a witness right there? And Debbie didn't know it. But I had been reading some little chick tracks out there at the railroad where I worked. And those little chick tracks were telling about the end times and how bad it was going to get. So as a lost man, I made up my mind. I said, "Well, that settles it for me. This is going to happen just like these little books. And we're not going to have any children." I came home one day and I told my little bride, I said, "I'm putting my foot down. We're not going to be having children. You hear me? We're not going to be having children." And I meant it. I mean, I was John Dale. I meant it. We ain't going to have children. So, several months later, I'd been out on a run down to High Springs, Florida. Come back in, and I walked in and put my grip down at the back door and walked in and couldn't find Debbie. I went through the house. Debbie, she was in the back bedroom, sitting on the foot of the bed crying. I said, "What is wrong with you?" She said, "I'm pregnant. I'm pregnant." God was just showing me who was God. It wasn't me, it's Him. And boy, whenever she told me she was pregnant, you would have thought, Brother Scott, I'd gotten mad. There was something come over me. I thought, "My Lord, I'm going to have more. I'm going to have a youngin." I had the youngin a house, a little playhouse built in the backyard before he's ever born. Went and tore down an old house and got some wood out of it. Had a little playhouse built in our backyard, didn't I, Debbie, before that boy was ever born. Found out it was going to be a boy. I couldn't wait for it to get here. And I'll never forget the day that I held that little child in my hands. And I looked at that little old boy. And I was a lost man. I was a heathen. And I didn't really even know if there was a God. And I held that little boy. And I said, "You know, there's got to be a God, because this is nothing short of a miracle." See that little boy sitting right back there? That's a miracle. It's a miracle sitting right there. A miracle. And I say it like this, that God used my firstborn son to lead me to his firstborn son, Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful tonight that God can use the motherhood of Mary to break all of our hearts and get us to a place where we know that we need a a Savior in our lives. The mention of her name, the motherhood of her nature. But I want you to lastly consider with me the message that she nurtured. Would you look with me in verse number 32 again and watch what she heard that night, that first Christmas night? He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Mary's Christmas message. She heard these words, he shall be great. Great he was, and can I say this tonight? Great he is. He was great, he is great. He could walk on the water, he could heal the sick, he could raise the dead, he could calm the raging seas. Great he was and great he is, he could feed the multitudes with a sack lunch. Then he could minister words of life and hope to the multitudes. And he was called the friend of sinners and of publicans. Great he was and great he is. He is greater than the temple, greater than Solomon, greater than John Baptist, greater than Abraham or Moses. He's greater than all the angels grouped together. And he's greater than the heaven of heavens. For one day he shall fold them all up. And there he'll be in all of his glory, Jesus. He shall be great. Can I get a witness from any of God's people in this room? He is great. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. I don't understand why Muslims want to die for Muhammad when there's a God out there wanting them to live. That's higher than Muhammad. I don't understand why Buddhists want to bow down to a little idol when there's a God that wants them to know the living God. I don't understand that. Why trust your limited intelligence when there's one who created everything for you to trust him? He's the king of all. Notice what it says, of his kingdom there shall be no end. His kingdom is always going to be. When he was here on earth, Pilate cornered him up and said, Jesus, there's something I need to know about you. He said, it's been said about you that you're the king of the Jews. Is that true? And Jesus looked at him and said, you said it. I like this. You said it, boy. You said it. And then Jesus went on to tell him something. He said, I want you to understand something. My kingdom is not now. He said, if it were, my servants would fight. But now, my kingdom is not him. But one day, his kingdom's coming. Matter of fact, he told his disciples, when you pray, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. One day, Jesus is coming. Can I get a witness right there? He's coming as King of Kings, and I've got news for you. Before he ever comes as King of Kings, he already is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I've heard people say, have you made Jesus your Lord? You can't make Jesus Lord. He is Lord. You just receive him as Lord. Amen. Jesus. I get thinking about him. And I imagine the news that Mary heard that night. Mary, did you know who you was actually holding when you held Jesus? Mary, did you really know who was inside of you? Mary, did you? When I get to heaven, I want to ask Mary these kind of questions. But you know, I'm reminded of something that happened while Jesus was on the cross. He was hanging there, and we're told that he said seven significant things while he was on the cross. And one of those things was he looked down there, and at the foot of the cross was his mother, Mary. And I believe that he did this because Joseph was then deceased. I believe Joseph had died. He looked over there at John. He said, John, behold your mother. And he looked at Mary and he said, woman, behold your son. And the scriptures tells us from that day forward, John took her home with him. And his ministry was kind of sidetracked. Pentecost was about to come up. And I know John wanted to be there. But you know what? I got to thinking as Jesus handed him Mary. He was giving John something that was precious to him. John, I want you to take care of my mom. She's precious to me. See to it that she's taken care of until she comes here to meet me. Can you imagine as John and Mary sat around the fireside at night? Can you imagine some of the conversations that they held? I can hear John. John was an inquisitive type of fellow, I believe. And I imagine as they sit around the fireside, maybe some snow out on the Bethlehem hills. And he said, Mary, would you tell me about him? And Mary began talking about Jesus. You see, I believe that Mary was the only one that really knew that day at the cross who he really was. She knew she was a virgin. And she knew that was the Son of God hanging on that cross. And I can imagine as her and John sat around in the home, on the home side at nights talking about Jesus. And then John begins writing. And he writes the Gospel of John, and he takes us as far back as humanly possible with Jesus. And he says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. And the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were created by Him. He carries us all the way back as far as we can go with God. But then one day, John is selected by God to write the book of Revelation. And he carries us all the way forward, as far as humanly possible, in talking about Jesus. And he said, one day, there's going to be no more curse, and Jesus is going to reign, and we are going to reign with Him. Whew. Lord, have mercy. I wish I could have been John. If my name wasn't John, I'd want to be John. Amen. Can you imagine all the things he heard Mary talk about Jesus? The days when he was Peter Pan, things that we don't even know from the scripture. From the age of 1 to 12, we don't know a thing about him. And she sat there and expounded to John all the things that she went through with this man called Jesus, the Son of the Highest. I don't know about you, but I'm sure thankful for the Christmas message that Mary heard. I'm glad to know what little bit I do know about him. And I'm kind of like Paul wrote it. I want to know him and the fellowship of his sufferings. I want to know him. Paul met him on the road to Damascus, but he said, you know, that ain't enough for me. I want to get to know him more and more and more. We're entering into a Christmas season. It's a time where we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful that we do. Can I get a witness right there? I know some mock it and make fun of it and say we ought not do it. But I'm going to put a tree up. I got one up at my house. We got things decorated all around. You ought to see what that woman over there has done with our house. We got things all over the house, on the outside of the house. I love Christmas time. I love the message of Christmas because it's this, God with us. And I'm glad that He's with me and you. Can I get a witness right there? Entering into this time of Christmas as we all stand and get us a piano player, just come play something. We won't sing anything, Brother Warren.